You are about to listen to the undiluted word of God, taught by Pastor Chidi Eberin Wokocha, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Disciples Assembly, a man known for his strong passion for leadership, growth, and kingdom discipleship. Listen and be impacted.
Looking at the Church of God. Who can tell me what we discussed in the month of January? Faith. Faith or blessings? You are sure it's faith. Praise the Lord. And what do we discuss in the month of February? Prayer. Now this month, we'll be looking at the Church of God. Praise the Lord. Choir, you may be seated. We're looking at the Church of God. Even though today is a Thanksgiving service, we'll still go with our agenda. Praise the Lord. And of course, don't be in a hurry to leave. After the word, we're going to spend 1 hour worshiping God. And we'll have our guest minister in our midst, Minister Steve Owaifo. And reserve his own introduction to us, his own time. Praise the Lord. You know, so it promises to be an interesting time in the presence of God. So today we're looking at, or rather this month, we'll be looking at one church under God. One church under God. Praise the Lord. And the key verse we're going to use is Matthew 16, 13 to 19. Matthew 16, 13 to 19. And I read. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Praise the Lord. You know, this month we'll be looking at the Church of God. Most people do not understand why the church. Some people are doing things in their own way that the church has become so ineffective on earth. And the way we go about church has made the church no longer powerful. Church is not a place you come to be entertained. Church is not a place you come and be made happy. Just feel good. When you go back, you know what you are doing. And in the course of the month, as we're looking at the church, we're going to learn a lot about the church. But even just looking at where we read, I want to bring out some fundamental things that, you know, hit me this morning as I was reviewing even what I have prepared for the day. The first thing that we'll see here is from what we read, that the foundation of the church is in the revelational knowledge that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Praise the Lord. He said, Peter, he said, upon this rock, I'll come to that later. You know, he wasn't talking about Peter. Peter, he called Petrus, one rock, one stone, right? But upon this rock, that's Petras. That is a mass of rock. And who is the rock of ages? Who is the rock of our foundation? Praise the Lord. He said, Peter, upon this revelation that I am the Messiah, I am going to build my church. And that is why any church that does not operate from this foundation that Jesus Christ is Lord, He is the Messiah, that is not the church of God. Any place they tell you any other thing, pack your bag and leave. Even by what they say and what they do, must reflect that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It's on that revelation. So the foundation of the church is on this revelation. Then he talks about the gates of hell not prevailing. People of God, what I deduce from this is that there's a battle going on. So the church should not be surprised that the enemy, that the kingdom of darkness is waging a battle even as we are marching on. Jesus had already told us that the gates of hell will not prevail. That means there will be obviously a battle. There is a battle going on for every soul that is on earth. Every soul. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter what religion they are. Praise the Lord. There is a battle going on. But I have one assurance from this. People will say, oh, the way the churches are going. Now who knows? I said, the church will always be victorious because Jesus will meet his church when he returns. Because he has told me here that the gates of hell can never prevail. And that means, as a child of God who is operating on this understanding, on this revelation that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, as long as you are part of this group, the church, the enemy cannot prevail against you. Praise the Lord. And then that is from this foundational principle is that we already have victory. He said, the gates of hell will not prevail. Not prevail here is telling me that what? They will try, but I will always what? Prevail. I tell people Christianity is a wonderful thing. We are in a battle where we already have victory, and we are only told to show up at the battlefront. Nobody says you will not go through a battle. Praise the Lord. But one thing is key from this is that we have victory. Tell your neighbor, I have victory. Tell your neighbor, you have victory. So it doesn't matter what you're going through as an individual. The enemy may come against you with all that they have. So long as you stand on that foundation that cannot be moved, Jesus Christ, in the long run, eventually, you are what? Victorious. Praise the Lord. Then another thing I also see from where we read, before we go into the main thing we're talking about today, is that he says the keys of the kingdom of heaven. See, he has given us what? The keys. What does that mean? He's talking about access, about strategy. Because the church of God is supposed to reflect the kingdom of God here on earth. The church is supposed to let the world know how, you see, when you pray, he says, thy kingdom come, right? His kingdom what? Come. As it is in heaven, let it come here on earth. And who is going to tell the people about how the kingdom of God should be run here on earth? The church. And that is why he said, I have given you the access. I have given you the strategy. I have given you the keys that will enable you to teach the people about my kingdom as it is in heaven here on earth. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. And the last part of where we read says, that whatever you bind here on earth will be bound in heaven. Wow. Wow. It talks about authority. That means the church of God has been given authority to have dominion over this earth. That means the church of God has been given the authority of rulership. That means if the church gets it right, the church will determine what happens in our society because we are like an embassy of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We are a prototype of what is in heaven here on earth. Are you with me? So if the church gets it right, he said, we will decide who rules. We will decide what happens. We can bind and loose That means you and I can stay here and decide what happens in Aso Rock. You don't get it. July last year, we fasted. God said we should pray for this nation and fast. And we did it. At the end of that fasting and prayer, you know what happened the next few days? Somebody was removed that was so powerful. That means you and I have the power to determine how our economy will function. And that is why the enemy knows that the church has been given such power, and that is why he's fighting to ensure that the church is confused. Because if the church is confused and not united, not in one accord, not in one spirit, they will not be effective in deciding who rules. They will not be able to have dominion. The same thing the devil did to Adam and Eve in Genesis. God said, I have given you everything. Have dominion. Have rulership. Praise the Lord. The enemy came and obtained that authority by trick. And Adam lost everything. A man came into bondage. Praise the Lord. And that is why Jesus Christ came and died. And when he died, he rose on the third day and returned back authority to you and I. Who is the church? We are the ones. Praise the Lord. So he has returned back to us that key, that authority to have dominion on this earth. That is what we're going to be looking at in the next 1 month. God's giving us strength. Praise the Lord. It is all about it, because if you don't understand this thing, you will miss it. A lot of people go to all kinds of places. They say, bring this. You know, all kinds of fake miracles are happening there because people lack understanding. Yes, people are in need. They're looking for solutions to their problem. But like I always say here, the most important thing for you to have is what? Knowledge. Wisdom, knowledge. The moment you have this, you will be able to discern. Because people know that, some people know that a lot of people are helpless, looking for solutions, looking for a way. They've gone out there manipulating people, doing all kinds of things. Even some native doctors have dressed up these days and call themselves church. Praise the Lord. They do all kinds of things. They manipulate people, do fake miracles. Some of them invoke things. And those who are gullible fall for it. Praise the Lord. According to one of the men of God that I really follow, Tony Evans, he says, the church is supposed to be a little bit of heaven, a long way from home. It is to be that place where the values of eternity are praised in history. Where weary people can go and find the truth, acceptance, equality, freedom, safety, forgiveness, justice, and hope. Like I said earlier, it's like the embassy of God here on earth. That's what the church is supposed to be. People come into the church, they will find succor, they will find Jesus. He will meet them at their point of need. He will clean them up, no matter the background they are coming from. Like I always say here, I have not seen any sin that the blood of Jesus cannot clean. Praise the Lord. So a church is a place that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done in the past, the moment you come in here with a contrite heart and say, Lord Jesus, I have messed up. I have made mistakes. Fix me. Praise the Lord. He is called the potter. It doesn't matter when you come in. It doesn't matter whether the you've been broken into pieces. Maybe they've broken your heart. Maybe they've treated you, you know, and you are so angry. You're so helpless. You don't even want to have anything to do with anybody. You can't even have relationships anymore. When you come, the potter will hold you. He will begin to pick every pieces. You know why the devil is after a relationship? Because he knows if he's able to get you not to have a healthy relationship with anybody, you cannot have a healthy relationship with what? With God. And I'll tell you why. If you cannot love your neighbor as yourself, you cannot love God. Bible says, if you cannot love your brother that you see every day, how can you love God whom you don't see? Praise the Lord. So the enemy wants you to have to put a wedge between you and your relationships. So if you're broken, If people have disappointed you, betrayed you, battered you, abused you, and you run to Jesus Christ, He is the potter. You know, when you have a jar that is broken and you bring it to the potter, he will begin to pick the pieces one by one, begin to mend you, begin to heal you, begin to put it together, and finally, it will become a beautiful vase with different designs. All those broken parts will form part of the design, and that will form the new you. Praise the Lord. A church is like a mini hospital where people who are sick come and they see the doctor Jesus Christ, who is the healer. Praise the Lord. And he will heal you. It doesn't matter the disease you are carrying. It doesn't matter what have you been afflicted by the enemy. The moment you come into the presence of the Almighty God and say, "Healer, heal me. Here I am." He will rebuke the sickness. He will release divine health to you. Sometimes people are broken with sickness. Emotionally, they are sick. You know, sometimes we focus more on the physical sickness. Praise the Lord. Some people are bitter. Bitterness is a serious disease. Unforgiveness. Some people have been hurt. Emotional problems. And they need the divine touch of the healer. Church is a place where if you've been afflicted and held bondage by the enemy. You know, some people in life, because of the affliction that the enemy has put on them, they can't even move forward. You know, when somebody is put to a chain, he cannot go beyond the length of that chain. Are you with me? You know, like when you get a goat and tie the goat and put him by the tree, he cannot go beyond. He can only be going in circles. That is, if, yes, let's say if the rope is 5 meters long, the goat can only go a maximum of, you know, in a circular form, 5 meters, right? He cannot go beyond that because they've set a boundary for the person. So when you come to Jesus, even if they set a boundary for you, even if they say you cannot go beyond this and you've been afflicted, when you come to Him, He will lose you. He will set you free. He will give you a new beginning. That is what the church is ought to be. Church is a place where people come, we point them to Jesus and not to ourselves. A lot of people are beginning to build cult personalities. Building a cult of personalities. So church is not a place you come and it's like a political party. No. It's not a social club where friends meet to talk about their, you know, of what affects them. No. Church is a leveler. Why do I say so? You come to church, it doesn't matter whether you're the president. When you come to church, you bow to the King of Kings. Praise the Lord. They can have several presidents, but there's only one king. Praise the Lord. Church is a place as the king is bowing, trying to resolve his issue with the Almighty God. Praise the Lord. A beggar walks in, he's able to resolve the same issue with the Almighty. So it is a leveler. So you don't need to come into church and somebody make you inferior before your father and before the king. Because it doesn't matter how far away you've gone away from your father. The moment you return on your way back, as he sees you, he runs towards you. His arms are outstretched. He wants to hug you and embrace you and welcome you back into his house. That is what the church is all about. Today, many churches have stopped being biblical churches that it was designed to be. So we have limited our impact on society. Have you ever wondered why we have a lot of churches yet no impact? We have a lot of churches yet people are going through all kinds of things because we don't even know who we are. So in the course of the month, praise the Lord, we're going to look at the church purpose. What is the purpose of the church? We're going to look at the church unity. There is no unity in the house of God. We have seen several churches where there is leadership problem. They will fight themselves to even as far as killing themselves. There was a case that the thing was so bad. You know, there was a tenor for the general overseer of the church. And after the tenor, he went to extend his tenor. And people said, No, the foundation has been set. This is what the tenor should be. And the man said no. And there was a problem. And they went to court. Everybody begged. Other churches stepped in. They said no. Even the judge begged them. Said, let me resolve this problem for you. They said no. Let us see how the law will interpret. Remember, we are supposed to judge the earth. Now they've gone for the earth, for the people out there to judge them. And when they couldn't resolve it, the judge, maybe God used that to bring them to others. The judge, being a Muslim, said, okay, if you cannot find solution of this problem in your Bible, maybe we'll try the Quran. What a shame. We have had cases where the Bible, so people can lock up the church of God. Say it is our church, they lock it up because they are fighting. There is no unity in the church today. Sometimes men of God will gather to take a simple decision that requires common wisdom. Eh? They will pray, fast. Then that decision, they will scatter it. Because we are not allowing Jesus Christ to be the head that he is in the church. Praise the Lord. I want to look at the church mission. What is the mission of the church here on earth? I want to also look at the church membership. You say you're a member of church. What does it mean? What does it mean? Some people move from church to church. They are like, you know, shopping. Praise the Lord. They are not looking for Jesus Christ. I remember when I was sent out in those days to go and start a parish. Praise the Lord. And a young man was sent with me. I said, let's go. He said, no, pastor, I'm not following you. I said, why? He said, the church where I send you, I have a lot of connections there. I will get business there. Wow. He told me to my face, he's not coming. And he told me the reason. He was so blunt. About a year ago, he now had to frame my face. I started trying to chat me. Hey, where are you now? I was supposed to say, what happened to the connection? What are you looking for me now? I don't have the connection you need. Because some people come to church not looking for Jesus. And I want to ask everybody here today, why are you in church? Talk to your neighbor and ask him. Look into the eyes. Why are you in church? Why are you in church? You know, some people come to church because they want to fulfill a religious activity. Some people come to church because they want to toast a babe. Some people come to church because of all kinds of reasons. But let me tell you, the real reason why you should be in the church is because you are looking for Jesus Christ. That is why we said here, our vision is taken from Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will be added unto you. Some people are in church for all kinds of... Don't worry, you are not the first. For Christ to make that statement, read before from about 28 to 33. He was telling them about how they are looking for what they will wear, what they will eat, solve their prayer. He said, all these things you need, I know. I have it in my hands. I can give it to you. But seek me first. And as you seek me and find me, every other thing you will need, I will give to you. And that's why even when we talk about the Lord's Prayer here, after you've honored him, you know, submit yourself to him, let the kingdom come, you know, align that his will be done here on earth. And by the time you now get to give us this day, you meet the need of God first. When you find him, your need is met. Praise the Lord. Then the next one we're going to look at eventually is the church leadership. A lot of people struggle to be leaders in church without understanding the implication and what it entails. Praise the Lord. And if we get this topic right, trust me, if I were you, I would not want to miss this. If we get this topic right and understand it, it will change the way you see church. It will change the way you do church. And some of us will stop playing church and start worshiping God. Praise the Lord. And the last part we're going to do is the church outreach. Praise the Lord. It's the church outreach. So briefly, I'll just look briefly into this. Wherever we stop for time, we'll continue next week. Praise the Lord. Church is a place where values of eternity operate in history. Let weary people can go and find truth, acceptance, equality, freedom, safety, forgiveness, justice, and hope. Praise the Lord. He said, today's church is having less impact because it has failed to function from a kingdom perspective. Praise the Lord. The Greek word for kingdom is basileia. It means to rule, to have authority. A kingdom includes three crucial components. A ruler. I know we've handled this in the past. Praise the Lord. It's like a refresher. A ruler empowered with sufficient authority to govern. Then you have the subjects who fall under this authority. Then the rule of governance. We've all handled this. You can get the CDs. Praise the Lord. God's kingdom is the authoritative execution of God's comprehensive governance in all creation. So what the church is trying to do is to enforce the kingdom values here on earth. Like I said earlier, it's like an embassy. You know, if, let's say, you go to the American embassy, even though they're in Nigeria, their sovereignty is what? It's in the U.S., right? They are governed by their laws. Praise the Lord. So when you enter the American embassy, what you see there is like a prototype of what you see in what? In the United States of America. So the church here, we are here to manifest or portray all the kingdom attributes of God. How does he want his kingdom in heaven that he has put here on earth to function? Praise the Lord. And to achieve this, I'm going to be very fast. To achieve this, God has given us, you know, several components. We have discussed this here. And what are those four components? Can somebody help me, please? Huh? Family? Let's go in order. Okay, start with yourself first. Self. Family, the church, and society. Praise the Lord. So God's kingdom is larger than temporary political or social realm in which we live. When we look about the kingdom of God, it is both now. That is, sometimes the church or some churches have tried to misinterpret the kingdom of God. Some of them preach the kingdom of God as something that will happen in the future when we get to heaven. Praise the Lord. So they don't believe that the kingdom of God is here on earth. Praise the Lord. And because they don't understand this, they don't even understand their role in the kingdom work. But kingdom of God is both in heaven and here. That is why I use the embassy word example. Praise the Lord. Matthew 1:15 says, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I said, it's not yet here. Matthew 16:30 says, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So the kingdom of God is both here now and is futuristic. Am I communicating? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So since it originates from above, from another realm, Jesus revealed that the truth shortly before his crucifixion, when he said to Pilate, you see, before he died, the people said, you say you are the king of the Jews. Praise the Lord. They said, your kingdom is here. Are you the king of the Jews? Praise the Lord. But Jesus made a profound statement. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So the kingdom of God is here with us, and the kingdom of God will still be established here on earth. What we have here now is like a prototype. Praise the Lord. And it is for us to impact the people, teach them about God's kingdom, so that when the real thing comes, all of us will have been used to it. Praise the Lord. If you don't know how to worship God here on earth, how can you worship him in heaven? Are you with me? If you don't know how to honor the king, how can you do it when you get there? Or when the future kingdom lands? Are you with me? So here, the church has that role to play. The next thing we look at is that since God's kingdom originates from another realm, God established covenants within the world in which we live, through which to implement it. One, he said these covenants are governmental systems or institutions designed or designated as family, church, and civil what? Government. God has put a process in place. Praise the Lord. You have the family, you have the church, you have the civil government. And the believers have made this mistake over the years. They say, no, we can't get involved in governance. How can you teach them how to govern? That's why I'm happy for Pastor Daniel. I saw him on Chinese television on, was it Thursday? In my hotel room in Abeokuta. I said, yay, I was telling him. I called my wife and said, my friend is showing them how to govern. Praise the Lord. We have to get involved. But don't go there and go there and mess up. Don't go there and be like them. You see, what we have seen happen so far is that most believers go there and instead of setting the example and showing them what governance should be, because that is what God wants us to do here, they go there, they compromise and become like them. That is where the challenge is. So Pastor Emmanuel, please don't become like them. I trust the grace of God upon your life. Praise the Lord. You don't become like them. You show them how it's going to be. Stand for the truth. Some people go there, they compromise left, right, center, lie from both sides of the mouth. And you wonder what? And they say they're representing the God's people. How can that be? Praise the Lord. The church is supposed to set the standard for the kingdom. So these three systems are designed to operate in absolute standard of truth. What this means is that it's non-negotiable. God's truth is non-negotiable. He is the standard. God is the standard. Jesus is what? The way, the life, and the what? The truth. He's the benchmark. The truth cannot change. It doesn't matter whether you are a Muslim, a Christian, a barbarian, Babalawo. The truth is what? The truth. God's truth is not dependent on your environment. God's truth is not dependent on your condition. The truth of God is what? The truth of God. And this truth is based on the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. Another way that we can bring, or the church can bring people to surrender to the sovereignty of God, and tell people about God here on earth, is to get people to know that God is the Almighty God. Everything begins and ends what? With Him. That's why we say He's the what? Alpha and what? The Omega. You know, He's the Alpha and the Omega. I love it when the Bible says He can wound and He can heal. He can kill and He can make alive. Issues of life and death belongs to Him. Your life is in God's hands. And not anybody's hands. Your destiny is in God's hands. And not in any man's hands. So don't allow anybody to threaten you. To make you feel inferior. To make you begin to feel that they are God. No. God rules in the affairs of men. And He gives to whom He will give it to. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Another thing that we look at again is, it says the sociopolitical distinction of the kingdom. What do we mean by this? Some people just believe that the kingdom is just purely spiritual. But no, you have a role to play here on earth in the kingdom of God. The way we live our life. The way we do things. You know, can you do something and somebody will see and say, even without knowing who you are, I said, this one is a Christian. Don't have any witness in the house. You get a point in your walk with God. Not just by what you say with your mouth, but people just see you by what you stand for. They say, this one is a child of God. Because the church has a role to play here on earth. And until we understand this, we'll just be like any other gathering. Any other club where we come, we feel good. And that's what the church has become today. We come, we get entertained. You know, I always do something after service or before the next service. I say, what was the last topic for the last service? Sometimes most people don't even remember. Ask them, how was the service? Say, the Spirit of God moved powerfully. Pastor, today's service, Holy Spirit came down.
What did they teach? They don't remember. Because the enemy steals the word from them. And that is why it is our responsibility to ensure that when we come to church, that we don't allow the enemy to steal that which God has put in us. Praise the Lord. The church here is supposed to establish dominion here on earth. I've said it before when I was giving the preamble. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. He said, have dominion. Because we are in his own image, he has given us all the power. He said, I've given you every power on earth, in heaven, beneath the earth. I have released it unto you. He said, whatever you bind here. You know what that means? He said, heaven is waiting for us to rule. Let me explain it. Bible says, whatever you bind here on earth is bound what? Whatever you lose here. So that means the angels are waiting for the church of God to give the instruction. If you say fire, not to kill your enemy. You merely do what? You fire. If you say stop, we have the power. But the church has become beggarly. I was so ashamed the other day. I saw on television some people claim that they were pastors. Said, oh, they had the Holy Ghost. And when I called my friend, pastor friend in Abuja, I said, oh, I said, no, that they approached a lot of pastors. I gave some people 50K to come and talk. Is that not a shame? Is that not a shame? Some people have sold their souls for paper, money. In the name of running a church. God will help us in the name of Jesus. God will help us in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So this morning, as a roundup, I want you to reflect. Why are you in church? Why are we in church? Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Praise the Lord. We are the body of Christ. Is Jesus Christ truly your head? Is he really ruling in your life? You come to church every Sunday, every now and then, and your life is not changed. Our full value is your gathering. Your immediate circle of friendship. You don't have any impact, and yet you are in church. We are supposed to be the model of the world. That people will see us and see the Christ in us. Is your lifestyle portraying Jesus? Remember, we are the church. Sometimes people think church is just one place you gather. After we gather, they leave. No, they don't understand they are the church. And the moment you realize that you are the church, praise the Lord, the way you behave, the way you treat people, the way you react, will definitely change. So I want everybody here, it's a very long topic. I don't want to take our time because we're going to worship. But I want everybody here to reflect. The church of God is the prototype of God's kingdom here on earth. And Jesus Christ is the rock, the foundation of the church. And you and I, praise the Lord, are the individual rocks that fit in to form that big rock. Praise the Lord. And you and I have a role to play in the church. And until we understand who we are, you know, I always tell people, if you don't understand who you are, every doctrine that comes, you'll fall for it. If you don't understand where you're going to in life, praise the Lord, what happens? Every boss that comes, if they say, oh, Joe Eleba, you enter. You get to Joe Eleba, they say, Kanu, you enter. Because you don't have what? A direction. You have to understand who you are. And I want everybody to reflect. You are in church today. Do you know who you are? Do you know your God? Because if you don't know this Jesus Christ we're talking about, how can you now be his representative here on earth? So as we round up this morning, I want everybody to reflect. Let's bow down our heads. I want everybody to reflect. You've been coming to church. Who are you in Christ? Are you part of the church? Do you understand what your roles are? Is Jesus Christ your head? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Some come to church, yet they don't even know who the head of the church is. They don't submit to him. There are several benefits that come with being part of the church of God. You receive authority to bind and to loose. He gives you power over all the powers of the enemy. Are we exercising this power? Or are we a pawn in the hands of the enemy? I want you to begin to ask God to help you, so that you be that person that God wants you to be in his kingdom. So that you begin to play the role that he wants you to play in his church. That you become a true ambassador of Jesus Christ. But even as we round up this morning, and you are here, you've not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You are not yet part of the church. You're just a visitor, trying to understand, trying to see what happens in the kingdom. And that is why you must take that firm decision today. And like I said earlier, church is a place. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. Come to him the way you are. All in this room is a contrite heart. Crying out to God, say, Lord, help me. You may have made mistakes, but don't allow your mistakes to define who you are in life. You see, repentance is to help us correct the mistake that we have made and return back to him. He put a system in place to help you overcome your mistakes in life. Some of us have made terrible mistakes. His arms are wide open to embrace you. Don't allow your past to define who you are. Don't allow your past to define who you are. God is waiting for you. Maybe you've been in church. Yes, you give your life to Christ, but along the line, you've made mistakes. And people are trying to define you by your mistake. It's time to say no. Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, and 7 times he gets up. Don't allow anyone to put you down. Even if you're falling, get up and pick up and run the race. You are here this morning, you've not given your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus is calling you. His arms are wide open to embrace you. All you have to do is just to wave your hand and I'll pray with you.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been blessed. For more information, kindly fellowship with us on Wednesdays by 6:30 p.m. for our midweek services and Sundays by 9 a.m. for our family services at number 209 Muriokola Street, Victoria Island, Lagos. Or visit us on Facebook at Kingdom Disciples Assembly.